Hi there. Have you heard the good news concerning those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth? Well, I haven't, because there is none. There is no good news for those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth. All they have to look forward to is the wrath of God's fiery indignation, which shall devour his adversaries. And Deuteronomy 32:22 says that the anger of God's wrath burns unto the lowest hell. So we can safely say that the only good news concerning those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth is not to be one of them. I repeat, the only good news concerning those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth is not to be one of them. Now, I suppose that many of you are fearful that you have fallen into the category of those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth. I can't discern if you are or if you aren't. Only the scriptures, rightly divided, can discern if you are one of those who are sinning willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth. Now, the scriptures are profitable for your edification in the faith. However, if you apply them incorrectly through a lack of knowledge concerning how to rightly divide the word of truth for spiritual discernment, then you will find yourself wrestling the scriptures to the destruction of your faith toward God. And that will eventually lead you into such discouragement that you may even depart from the faith, thinking that you are hopelessly lost and that God has forsaken you. Peter warned us lovingly in 2 Peter 3:16 about wrestling the scriptures to our own detriment and destruction. Peter said, "Our beloved brother Paul wrote epistles to us by the wisdom given to him of God. And in his epistles are some things which are hard to be understood, and those who are unlearned and unstable will wrestle those things as they do other scriptures to their own destruction." Well, let me tell you, this scripture concerning those who sin willfully is one of those things that Paul wrote which are hard to be understood, and if you are unlearned and unstable in the word, you will wrestle this scripture and other scriptures such as, "Whosoever is born of God cannot sin, and whosoever sins is of the devil." You will wrestle such scriptures to the destruction of your faith toward God, as I almost did, if you are not very careful by comparing scripture with scripture. As a matter of fact, this scripture concerning those who sin willfully will absolutely terrify you and terrorize your good conscience of faith toward God if you are not very familiar with the writings of Paul, which comes by comparing scripture with scripture. So let's begin rightly dividing the scriptures by the scriptures, for the scriptures interpret themselves. Hebrews 10:26 reads, "If we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a fearful looking forward to judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Okay, let's face it. If we were to take this scripture at face value, then all of us are going to hell. Again, if we are to take this scripture at face value, then we are all going to hell in a bobsled, because each and every one of us knows what it is to sin willfully, be ye sinner or be ye saint. That's why we cannot interpret this scripture with our carnal, natural minds, or else we will wrestle this scripture and others like it to the destruction of our faith toward God and end up just like Peter, who at his wit's end exclaimed, "Well, who can be saved?" Because when you stare at 1 John 3:8 and it says, "Whosoever commits sin is of the devil," and then you look at yourself sinning daily, and then you turn to Hebrews 10:26 and it says, "If you sin willfully, you have nothing but the fiery indignation of God to look forward to," and then you recount to yourselves the instances in which you have sinned willfully, you will want to throw in the towel and call it quits, because in this fight of faith, you have put the wrestling skills of Hulk Hogan to shame. Because you have wrestled the scriptures to the destruction of your faith toward God, and you're down for the count on the mat of despair. And the only key to understanding this passage is knowing the two creations, the old creation of the flesh and the new creation of the spirit, and which one you are joined unto in the sight of God. Romans chapter 7 and 8 teaches us that every human being has a part in their being that sins willfully. Be ye sinner or be ye saint. And the part of every human that sins willfully is called the flesh, the old creation, the old Adam. And Romans 7:25 says that the flesh serves the law of sin. Romans goes on to say that there is no good thing in the flesh, and John 6:66 says the flesh profits nothing. And it makes no difference what capacity you serve in, whether you're in the ministry or not. You still have a fleshly nature that serves the law of sin. And Jesus said that no one's flesh's status will ever change or conform to the spirit or spiritual standards. For Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, there is no making the spirit of Christ fleshly, nor can the flesh be made spiritual. These two creations dwell in the body of a born-again believer, and they are direct opposites. For the new creation is the Spirit of Christ in you, born of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And he serves only the law of God. He cannot serve the law of sin. While the old nature, the old Adam, the flesh, serves only the law of sin. And he cannot serve the law of God because he is born of Adam's corruptible, sin-cursed seed. These two creations are contrary, the one against the other, so that you cannot do the things which you would. For you to be classified as one of those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, you must be attached to the flesh, which is the old creation, which serves the law of sin. For it is the part of every person that sins willfully. No matter if they're a prisoner or a pastor, the part of them that sins willfully is the flesh nature. And if anyone is still unredeemed by the blood of Jesus, then they are still in the flesh. That old man of us, which delights in serving the law of sin, for he is the servant of sin. And when we were born into this world, our soul was joined as one with him, that old man, the flesh. As in the marriage allegory, how it goes that the two, in this case, the soul and our old man, the flesh, became one flesh. But God wanted to redeem our soul from the old man, the flesh nature, that old creation. Therefore, God crucified our old man, according to Romans 6:6, that sinful nature, at the cross, so that our soul could be free from the flesh and therefore eligible to be joined unto the new creation if we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith. And when Christ is born into our hearts by faith as the new creation, we are no longer joined to the flesh, which serves the law of sin willfully. We are now joined unto the Lord from heaven by grace through faith in the new creation. And it is written, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore, Romans 8:9 says that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. Remember, you now have Christ in you, born into your hearts by faith. And now your soul has been redeemed by his blood and joined unto the Spirit of Christ, the new creation, which cannot sin because he is born of God. So the Bible says of you, the born-again Christian who is joined with Christ as one in the new creation, that when you sin, it is no longer you that doeth it, but it is the sin that dwells in your flesh, that old creation, of whom you are no longer a part. Remember that when the born-again Christian sins, it is no longer him that doeth it, but it's the sin that dwells in his flesh nature. Read Romans chapter 7. Remember, sin is not being charged against the born-again believer, for sin is not imputed where there is no law, and you who are in Christ are no longer under the law, but under grace. As I stated earlier, the only good news concerning those who sin willfully is not to be one of them. And the only way to disjoint your soul from that flesh nature which sins naturally and willfully because it serves the law of sin continually is to experience the new birth which is Christ being born into your heart by faith as the new creation, the inward man of the heart, the one who cannot sin because he is born of God. And when he is in you, your soul is joined unto him. And it is written that whosoever is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. And then when your old man rises up and serves the law of sin, then God sees it as no more you that doeth it, but the sin that dwells in your sinful nature. Remember, those who sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth are the unregenerate sinners who, after having received the knowledge of the truth, which is the same as saying, after having received the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said of himself, I am the truth. These are unregenerate sinners who, after having received that Jesus Christ is the true way unto salvation, the only way unto salvation, they turn their back on him and continue in their sin. Remember, the born-again Christian is now dead to sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now since we're joined to the new creation, which cannot sin because he is born of God, we are dead to sin because our soul is inside of Jesus Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And the Bible says, in Christ Jesus is no sin at all. Remember that we used to have our life in the flesh, but now our life is Christ. According to Colossians 3:3, it says, Christ is our life. And is there sin in the born-again believer's life? No, absolutely not, for Christ is his life. Is there sin in his flesh? Yes, his flesh continues to serve the law of sin, even though it's dead in trespasses and sins, even though it's dead, crucified by God on the cross of Jesus Christ, even though it's dead, we are to reckon it dead, even though it continues to serve the law of sin, even though it still wars against the Christ in us, it's never regenerated. Jesus Christ never came to redeem our flesh nature. He came to, one, redeem our souls, and our soul was not born of God, it is breathed of God. He came to redeem our souls, and secondly, he came to redeem our vile bodies. This physical flesh we see, not the nature, but the physical flesh, it will be changed and redeemed at the resurrection, according to Romans chapter 8. And our flesh is not inside of Christ Jesus, only our soul is. Remember that this scripture talking about those who are sinning willfully are those who are the unregenerate sinners who, after having received the knowledge of the truth, and again, Jesus Christ said that he was the truth, so these are unregenerate sinners who, after having received and heard that Jesus is the only true way to salvation, they have turned their back on him and rejected him and willfully go on in their sins. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. There's no other hope for them. There's no other sacrifice except the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden under foot the Son of God. Jesus Christ came down here and gave his life down for us willingly. Those who are in their sin willfully are those who say, I heard the message, I don't believe it. They call God a liar. They trodden underfoot the Son of God, and the Bible goes on to say, and has counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant, wherewith the Son of God himself sanctified himself for the shedding of blood, an unholy thing. They count the blood of Jesus Christ an unholy thing, and they have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How have they done despite unto the Spirit of grace? The Bible says that no man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw them. And right now we are in the age of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. And the Spirit is wooing all people. The Spirit does not testify of itself. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. He declares the things of Jesus. He takes the things of Jesus and shows them unto us. The Bible says, the Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will show us the truth. What is the truth? Who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. And when someone who has, after having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and they reject him, then they willfully reject him, because the Spirit bears witness that our spirit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when they say, no, I do not believe that, I will not believe that, I will not trust that, then they are charging God as a liar. saying that Jesus Christ did not die for my sins, they will go on willfully and they will die in their own sin, even though the penalty and price has been paid for their salvation. So those who are sinning willfully are those who are still joined, hooked up to that flesh nature, who have not been circumcised with the circumcision of the heart. In the natural, we know circumcision as the cutting off of the flesh, so that the young child in the Old Testament could be Levitically clean. But now in the New Testament, we are circumcised of heart, circumcised in the spirit. Our flesh nature was cut off at the cross of Jesus Christ by the operation of God. He nailed it to his cross and told us to reckon it dead with its deeds. We are no longer joined to the part of us that sins willfully, but we are joined to the part, the new creation, which cannot sin because he is born of God. So, are you the one who sins willfully? It depends. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If you have, then when you sin, it is no longer you that doeth it, but the sin that dwells in your flesh. And you are not one of those who sin willfully because they have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?